Hi, Dominique. Welcome to another edition of The Week Ahead. How are you doing?
Fine, Andrew, how are you? How is the weather in the beautiful?
It's getting cool again, but it's okay. It's okay. But the weather in the markets is getting choppy again.
I feel the choppiness is here to
Terrible
stay.
transition. Okay, cool. So that's obviously some news. So timestamp for everyone, it's about 2:15 London time on Friday, May 23rd, which is ahead of a UK bank holiday. So,
And US too, for
oh
once.
yeah, double my birthday next week. So it could definitely be pretty illiquid markets too. So let's see how things react. So this is just before 10 minutes before the US equity open. So let's kind of dive right in. Maybe let's start from the week as a whole. What were your big takeaways? Market reactions, anything that stood out to you?
So my biggest takeaway is that President Trump is an incredibly lucky person. He got his budget through the House, 215 to 214, when five Republicans did not support it, two voted against, and three abstained. One didn't wake up on time, actually, to make it to the vote. Now so that's 215 in favor. The Democrat won 215 seats in November. So plus the two Republicans, that's 217. They should have defeated the budget. And it didn't happen because out of the 215 Democrats who got elected, three died since November. Their seats are vacant. And by the way, those three are all above the age of 70. So that is an incredible feat, getting the budget through the House, given the opposition between conservatives and centrists. And President Trump just pulled it. And I think the Senate, by comparison, will be easier. Only
Oh, really? Okay.
53, yeah. Only 53 senators to maneuver instead of 220 Republican House members. So I actually believe that Secretary Bessent's timetable of having the budget enacted around the 4th of July is probably going to work out.
Crazy. One thing I wanted to ask on the budget, I don't know if you and I spoke about it, but this tax on tips, like how strict are the rules around that? Because, there's a lot of inventive people in America. And if you set some fairly arbitrary thing like tax on tips, why can't most people in the service industry just take whatever their salary is down to a very low number and then just restructured as tax on tips? And that, I'm assuming the service industry is pretty big in the US, so that could be a massive issue on the budget. Or is it written in a way like that's not really a risk of it?
So, Andrew, as you say, there are a lot of very inventive people in the US. We are a very creative and entrepreneurial country. I would say just one thing. The problem with this budget is there is no fiscal consolidation. This year, there is a small decrease in the deficit, but thereafter, the deficit increases, and you can just look at it in terms of debt. So under the CBO baseline, so the existing budget law, no extension of the Trump tax cuts, the marketable debt was going to grow to 117% of GDP from about 99 currently, which was already not much consolidation. And under the House bill, it looks like it will go to 125%.
Oh, wow.
So where are the 3%? Secretary Bessent had this 3, 3, 3, what was it? 3% budget, 3%, whatever.
3% increase in, or 3 million barrels a day extra, which seemed like a lot.
And 3% growth.
Yeah, 3% growth. Yes.
Okay, I don't know about the 3% growth, but the 3% budget, we're not getting there. I mean, by the end of the 10 years, we will have a budget deficit of about 5.5% of GDP. I mean, come on, we are at 6.5%. So that's already unsustainable. And over 10 years, all we can do is a 1% consolidation. No wonder, the market sold off. I mean,
Yeah.
the bond market sold off this week. I mean, the trigger was obviously the poor 20 years option. But the bottom line is the US has been on a path of unsustainable fiscal policy. And actually, that started in 2001. That's when the primary budget deficit, so the deficit excluding interest payment, which gives you a better idea of what fiscal policy is really doing, you've had a worsening of that budget more or less nonstop
Right.
since
So,
then.
and some of that was hidden just from very low interest rates. So
Exactly.
obviously, if you just look at that number, it was clear. But if you look at everything in total, interest rates being whatever, like 1/6 of the number or something, or
Exactly, a
less.
big difference between nominal growth and interest rates. So,
So there's no barrier. So there's no specific restrictions around, increasing the deficit that would stop this bill, or not really? Or is it like
well,
funny accounting, or?
the bond vigilantes, the administration role. In driving the deficit through Congress was unprecedented. I mean, we have to recognize it. It's incredible what they've managed to do. And so no political barriers. President Trump is not worried by a high deficit. So the restraints will have to come from the market. And we saw we got a first taste of what it could be like this week.
And do you think this tax on tips that people taking abusing that somehow, or do you know it? Have you looked into enough that what kind of risk that would be?
Not, I mean, the bigger picture issue is that the cuts in expenditures do not match the tax
Yeah,
cut.
that I know. I know.
So I'm not sure the tax on tip will be the bigger the bigger driver of
Right. It's
that.
also the increase in the salt, the salt tax, is it like 40 grand up to a certain kind of 550,000?
That did not help.
Yeah. So I guess we saw that, and you saw also, I mean, also what's happening in Japan. Obviously, they have a very significant level of government debt, well over 200%, but a lot of their debt is held by local investors, and so that hasn't really been a concern. But now, and there was another fairly high or higher than expected inflation number this week, so I guess there's also a question of if you can start getting those rates in the long end in Japan, where their investors bring home money that they would have had in US and Europe, and that kind of also, I guess, fed up was feeding on itself. Now, the big sell-off in equities for now looks like the fixed income is generally rallying, at least today.
Well, there is an issue in Japan, which, by the way, something that Ken Rogoff discussed with Bilal. This was such a good interview. I keep talking about it.
Amazing.
But one of the things he said was that Japan has been able to maintain such a high level of debt through financial repression. That's hit Japanese growth, but it looks like the financial repression was more government fiat than regulation. So suasion on large Japanese institutional investors doing their patriotic duty. And it looks like it's not working anymore. So it could be that we are only now going to see the consequences of super high debt in Japan. And I would add that the global context is not helping, because we have increased issuance all over the world. I mean, the Europeans are finally getting their act together and funding, paying for their own defense. And in general, what the administration here in the US wants other countries to do is to reduce their trade surplus. And the logical way to do that is to decrease your budget balance, meaning to issue more. So my suspicion is that this trend of higher global yield is going to keep going. And it's going to make it harder for the US to fund, to get foreigners to buy its bonds, because, they'll have plenty to choose from.
Right now there's like some decent interest rate spread, and then I guess, yeah, just in general, if the interest rates are that high in the long end in respective countries, that they may just not venture outside of it anyway, and there may also again be pressure on their local institutions to buy more of, say, European debt.
But that's a dangerous game, of course, because then you get the bank sovereign feedback loop, especially in the Eurozone, where you have a few countries with quite creaky public finances. So a little jolt to the system, and then there are doubts about their banking system. And since the sovereign is a guarantor of the banking system, you can get a nasty feedback loop. So to me, the bottom line is that, the period of market, what did President Trump call it? Yippiness? The market yippiness, I think, is here to stay.
That's what we were saying, is after a rally like we've seen in the equity markets, where I think people were just way underinvested. Now we've, potentially hit a, where a lot of those shorts have been kind of squeezed back up, or squeezed back into the market. Now you have the tariffs again. You have this potential big issue around long end fixed income globally. There's a lot more uncertainty in the market, creating, as you and President Trump is, I guess, yippiness. So where's the Fed sit in all this? What do you think they're thinking?
So something really important happened yesterday, end of day. See, it's good to be living in the Asian time zone because you can really catch late news. The Supreme Court ruled on the president's ability to fire the heads or senior officials from independent agencies, and it ruled in favor of President Trump with one exception, the Federal Reserve. So basically, the Supreme Court said that President Trump cannot fire Chair Powell. And that's really important because, in my view, the Fed has been unusually hawkish, or there's been a shift in the reaction function towards hawkishness in the sense that we've had 2 weeks. Inflation print. We started to get hard data that the retail sales, so showing the impact, the negative impact of the uncertainty, the policy uncertainty on demand. And yet the Fed has kept saying we haven't seen any weakening of the hard data. I mean, every
Yeah,
survey.
what's going on there? I kind of agree. I'm not saying
What's going
I
on is
think
that there
President
was
Trump's
no
side.
data. There was no data. Every survey, including their own beige book, and each time they talk, they tell us how the CEOs they talk to are worried. They've put investment on hold. That's Governor Waller told us that yesterday. And yet, they say there is no weakness in the hard data, but they forget to say that there is no hard data because what we got. I mean, the Q1 GDP ended on March 31st, so before the tariff, I don't know what to call it, maybe the tariff madness because of the March madness. I'm
It's
not
a
sure.
basketball reference. Okay, yeah.
Then the NFPs were collected during the week of April 12 to 16, so not enough time to react. The one hard data we got that was post tariff was the April retail sales, and those were weak. So, I don't think those CEOs are irrational. I think we're going to see the impact with the data coming this week, actually, we're going to see. So, in my view, the Fed has turned hawkish because I felt they had to show their toughness, that they were not caught by the administration. But now that the Supreme Court has made it clear their independence cannot be touched, they could become more reactive to the data. We're going to see it this coming week.
Okay, cool. And now, on the week ahead, what are you kind of anticipating?
Well, actually, there is a lot of stuff. So let me run through them. So we have the core PC, so no surprise here, about 10 basis points, various things, 8 basis points, but very low. Then we have personal income and spending. And the more interesting part will be the spending, the savings rate, especially. The consensus forecast is quite low. I think it's 20 basis point. I don't think we'll have much of a slowdown in personal income because it's driven by the labor market, and the last NFP was strong. So it's really the savings rate. We will have durable goods, and there the forecast is quite low. I think it's zero, excluding
Extra specifically.
transportation. So we are seeing there the impact of the uncertainty on investment decision, because in the release, capital goods shipments, excluding defense and aircraft, is actually a good proxy for equipment good investment. So it's weak, and it's a direct impact of the heightened uncertainty. We are also going to have the trade balance. So we will know what was the impact of what was the effective tariff, and what was the impact on goods import, though we had a fair amount of tariff front running, so goods were higher. So that's the oh, and we'll have the revision of the GDP, but since the second release, but since this is pre-tariff, we won't learn much out of it. And then on the Fed side, we will have the minutes. I don't think the minutes will reflect the Supreme Court ruling. So we're going to have the Fed. They're going to show the FOMC asking itself what will happen. Inflation is uncertainty is so high. We need to wait until we have more data. And this week we had Fed President, New York Fed President Williams, who said we had to wait until September. And then we had Governor Waller, who said, implied we could start cutting in July if the administration did not increase the tariff. This is all a bit inconsistent because the Fed tells us that they are worried about two things. One, long-term inflation expectations. They are looking at the 5-year B and it's flat. The second thing is the evidence of second-round effects. And what we are seeing so far is actually very subdued inflation, slowdown in services, super core inflation. So if we have more data showing the same, it's kind of hard for the Fed to keep saying we need to wait until we're sure there are no second-round effect, because if they wait another year, they'll be sure, all right, but then there's a good chance the economy could be in recession. So Not expecting much forward-looking information in the minute. I'll be more looking at the Fed speakers.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah, I mean, I would say for next week, hopefully, do it on next Friday. We're getting pretty close for our clients. An update of our event monitor, which I know people have asked about, with a lot more functionality, a lot of more predictive nature around the directional potential impact on different currencies, the magnitude of the move, and then the following one would also be the importance of different topics through our AI topic modeling on central banks and connecting that into the respective economic data releases. So there's a lot of cool stuff, which, let's target that for next week. My side, I just want to wish everyone, good luck. Nice for, I guess, UK, US, nice long weekend. And obviously profitable trading.
Yeah, good luck, everybody.
Okay, awesome. Thanks. Bye.